Oh, you motherfucker.
Oh, oh God damn!
I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's another episode of Video Games Hot Dog, and we all fucking hate each other because of
Video
Ticket
Trains
to Ride
Hot Dog.
Online dot finger.
dot what?
We touched it. That's how you play. You touch the train
dot finger.
You guys were both ladies, and I got to touch your lady faces.
Ugh.
It was great. Ugh. How you guys been?
I was fine until just now. Yeah.
Have you done any things? Have you read any books or played any movies?
Yeah, I went to see the Avengers.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was great.
Nice.
Fucking great.
Huh?
We've all seen it at this point.
I have
right?
not seen it.
Oh, really?
So no spoilers. Does Hulk punch a thing? Because if he does, I don't want to know.
Shit! I was just about to say he punched something. It's pretty great.
That was a pretty good punch.
Yeah, it was a really, really good punch.
I know the one you're talking about, and that was pretty good.
Wait, is it the one where they're walking down the street and he just punches Thor because Thor says something stupid?
What? How do you know all these things?
I saw it on the internet.
That you shouldn't look at the internet.
I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
It's pretty good,
I was
though.
Pooping, and the internet was there.
Because I hadn't seen that, and it came out of nowhere, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Slapstick comedy. Was there a point where Batman slips on a banana peel?
No.
But just in the background.
Yeah, he's running around with a bomb trying to find a way to just defuse it.
That would be beautiful.
Adam Horowitz Batman. Adam
West?
Adam Carolla Batman.
Yes, Adam Carolla.
Adam Ant Batman. Adam Bat Ant Man.
The trailers at the movie were pretty great. I'm super excited about Dark Knight Rises or whatever, Dark Knight Returns or whatever the fuck the name of that movie is. Catwoman Attacks.
DKR.
Yeah. I'm curious.
DKNY.
Hesitantly curious about the new Amazing Spider-Man.
It could
be okay.
After seeing the previews, I kind of want to see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
It looks really pretty.
It looks dumb.
It looks dumb, but it looks
awesome dumb.
Okay, but Priest looked kind of like...
Yeah, and I think
Priest was also awesome
dumb.
I don't regret
seeing Priest. I mean, there was a vampire hive, and that was pretty sweet. It was like, oh, so that's what it looks like when vampires chew up some wood pulp and spit it into
a
big lump.
I think this will be pretty much the same sort of thing as Priest, except probably better.
I mean, it's all steampunk. I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah.
Despite, I don't know, Cory Doctorow saying it's played out.
Steampunk has never played out.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it has yet to achieve its zenith. I think there's going to be some amazingly awesome...
You mean like
awesome...
they need to make a steampunk television
right.
from the 80s.
There's going to be some awesome steampunk genre thing that like is new IP just set in a steampunk world.
I don't think you're allowed to have new IP that's steampunk.
Why not?
I think you just have to do a steampunk version of something else, like steampunk Gilligan's Island. How would that even work? Where would they get their steam?
Coconuts.
Maybe they're on a geothermal island. Yeah.
But you poke a little hole in a coconut and boil it.
Yeah.
Isn't a coke furness a thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so a coke go nut furnace would make. Yeah.
I feel like they would just make an airship and get off the fucking island, though, if they were in a steampunk.
Yeah, because Gilligan always does something accidentally that ruins it.
Yeah, Gilligan always burns the hydrogen.
I mean, they would just launch him in a spaceship to Mars, and then the rest of them would get in an airship and get off the island. That's my prediction.
That's your spec script.
Yeah.
Should submit that.
Yeah.
You should submit it to Mark Rosewater, see if he can call in some of his Roseanne favors. Get that in front of somebody important, like Roseanne Barr. Sorry. I saw the Chernobyl Diaries.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was... Oh. You know, it was a perfectly serviceable horror movie up until the last 2 or 3 minutes, and then it seems like it kind of got focus grouped into oblivion. Suddenly there were subtitles for the first time in the whole movie, and it was just...
It was them translating zombie.
Instead of, the door, it's locked, it was Russian guys saying, the door, it's locked. They were drunk and sounded like Charlton Heston.
But since they were drunk, they could understand
Get
the zombies.
Get your damn hands off me, dirty ape. That's what... They blew it up, all of it. Nah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, it's not good. It was not
good. The movie was not good?
There were previews, but I don't remember what any of them were. There were some things that I wanted to see. Oh, man, what's that rock and roll movie with... it's got like Tom Cruise as the Ozzy Osbourne analog.
Oh, I have no idea.
It looks so good. It looks like one of those movies that Philip Seymour Hoffman would be in. I don't know if he is or not, but feels pretty Philip Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I watched an older, like not in the theaters, movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman called Doubt. Have you seen that?
Nope.
It's got Meryl Streep and Amy Adams in it.
Is that one of the six movies where Philip Seymour Hoffman plays Truman Capote?
No.
At the same time?
He only did that once. There just happened to be a bunch of Capote movies at the same time.
There were two.
But he was not.
I mean, six. He played Truman Capote in all of them.
No.
Look, I know that as his agent, you're not allowed to admit that that's what happened because he was like double billing and quadruple billing and sextuple billing, but it happened.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Look, I've seen them.
Yeah, Doubt is a great movie.
I have my
reservations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool joke.
Uh-huh.
Really went somewhere, guys. We found out that there was a puzzle hunt embedded in Ready Player One, which is pretty exciting. And then we didn't spend any time looking for it because we were busy just trying to hammer XML files into a spear gun so we could shoot ourselves in the head. I don't know why we didn't just...
It would be hard to shoot yourself in the head with a spear gun because you would need really long arms.
Well, people do it with shotguns, right?
Yeah, but spear guns
shoot yourself
longer.
With a shotgun six times.
Sawed-off spear gun.
Worst case of suicide you've ever seen?
This is a regular gun.
So just it's a spearhead gun.
Okay. A spearmint.
Spearmint gun.
Wrigley spearmint gun.
Turned your skull into a you know, that drink that... julep. Mint julep.
Oh.
Okay.
Man, I'm just going to get unfunnier as I get older because my ability to time a joke is ruined by my inability to think of what the name of anything is.
Riff, don't worry. You couldn't possibly be any less fun.
Thanks.
That's why you'll always be a humor writer as opposed to a stand-up comedian.
Yes, very true.
I wish I could remember some of the other previews because I think that had like maybe two movies. Every time we go to the movies, there are three on average previews where I turn to my girlfriend and say, "We are seeing that," and she just kind of groans.
I keep a list.
Also, my girlfriend is a ghost.
What's that dumb looking time travel Bruce Willis one?
No, that looks great.
No, that's
no good dumb. Kevin thinks it looks retarded.
Slippers,
loopers,
loopers. Yeah, it looks great.
No,
yeah.
I think it looks great.
No, it looks great. It looks super.
Oh my God,
Joseph Gordon Levitt.
I like Joseph Gordon Levitt.
Joseph Love Hewitt. Kylie Minogue. I don't think Kylie Minogue is in it, but if she was, that would also be hot. she's holding up really well. Come on, Bruce. How do you not like a movie with... It's a time travel movie with Bruce Willis. Not since
it
12 Monkeys.
It is a retarded time travel movie with Bruce Willis.
The premise is a little... Offensive.
B, you're wrong.
But
oh, give me a break.
I
want
totally
to kill somebody, so I'm going to send them back in time to get a shot.
It's hilarious.
It's great. If you could send somebody back in time, that would be literally the best possible way to dispose of a body, provided the cops could not also go back in time. Because if they could, then you're fucked. So as long as...
Because then they'll have Steven Seagal.
As long as the police, Jean-Claude Van Damme,
yeah, also
Dolph Lundgren,
who's one
time
of those.
Cop? Who's time cop? Guys, know. Who's time cop? How to Get Burned?
Seagal? Van Damme?
No, it's Van Damme. I think Van Damme. I think Van Damme is time cop.
Okay, here's a question. Do you want to see Expendables 2?
I didn't see Expendables 1.
I think I want to see Expendables 2. I do. I know that Chuck Norris was like, underneath my beard is a guy who doesn't want any swearing. And that sucks.
What's the guy's name in The Expendables?
Sylvester Stallone?
No, the other one. No, the other one.
Jason Statham.
Yes. But instead of watching The Expendables, I went to try and find the Metafilter thread where they were talking about Jason Statham and listing all the Jason Statham movies that you should actually see.
Like The Transporter?
Yeah.
And The Transporter 2.
I don't know if those were on that list or not. They were ones that I hadn't previously heard of.
And Looper. Jason Statham is middle-aged Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't know, man. I think that movie's going to be pretty great.
I'm predisposed not to like it because I hated Brick. So
I have yet to see Brick.
I'm told I would love it. It's on my Netflix instant queue, but I haven't ever gotten around to it.
It's on my counter at home, and I just haven't watched it yet.
It is like a high school film noir. So Riff, you might be into it. I think you're going to hate it, Zach, but I don't know.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I've continued to watch a bunch of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Almost done with what they've got of that on Netflix. Then I think we're switching to Mad Men's.
Oh, wow.
You should watch Venture Brothers.
Mad Men, as I understand it, is a prequel to Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Ooh. Oh, that would be so good if it were true.
I mean, eventually it is.
Post-apocalyptic ad agency.
Yeah.
No, it's a pre-apocalyptic.
preeclampsia ad agency.
Yeah.
This is for babies that are going to kill you. try our brand of babies that are going to kill you.
It's .com.
We didn't find any secret mystery hunt thing. Apparently, you Ready Player One, there's a URL hidden in the print version of the book that takes you to an Atari game that you have to find some secret in the Atari game, and then somebody already did it, so it's not even interesting anymore. Damn it.
Well, I mean, it will be as interesting. It's as interesting as the puzzle hunt in the book.
Sure.
You know.
Well, none of us have been playing that video game, but have any of us been playing any other video games?
I also had a crazy yard sale.
What? You had a crazy yard sale?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I sold my childhood. Did you sell your crazy
yard? I did. I sold all my Transformers and a bunch of my Legos.
All to the same guy.
One guy showed up at 5:30 in the morning. And
his name was Edward Bay.
He bought my laser tag stuff, and he bought all my Muscle Men, and he bought all of... basically, just like all the good toys were gone before.
Did he buy the Gobots?
He did. He bought all the Gobots. Transformers and Gobots. And my Ataris and all my Atari games.
Did it upset the goat men?
Of course.
Broke your Voltron sword into three pieces and scattered them throughout the yard.
Yeah.
They hate that shit.
Sad.
Goatmen hate video games.
It's like a tinge of sadness to sell all your childhood stuff, but then you realize that you don't really want all of this stuff anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to give it to your kids, because it'd be worse to just see your little shit
just break it.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to have kids, so.
Yeah, well, then you wouldn't be saving it for somebody else's kids.
Yeah,
so that's definitely not going to happen. So those little shits could break it. What about your baby clothes? You kept those. Your girlfriend still makes you wear them every once in a while.
Yeah.
Now that you've lost so much weight, you can fit them.
I can fit in my baby clothes?
Yeah.
I can fit my hand in my baby clothes, maybe?
Yeah, well, in the baby gloves.
Yeah. Sold my old baseball mitt.
Do babies wear gloves? Have you ever seen a baby wearing gloves?
Just like a doctor baby.
Like an like rubber gloves?
Yeah.
Okay. They have those sweet mirrors on their heads. What about before lights were invented?
What about welder baby?
Oh, yeah. Oh, a little baby-sized welding mask?
Yeah.
That would be cute.
That would be great. And then
a little baby-sized acetylene torch?
little baby chainsaw hopping through the forest.
Baby lumberjack? Yeah, sorry.
Cutting down sapling.
No, no.
What you been playing?
You had some interesting anecdotes for people who came to the yard sale.
There was the...
Of course, now that I've set them up to be interesting, people
there was that
really
woman that wanted to buy two erasers... And I was like, you can just have them. She's like, how about I give you 10 cents? And I'm like, we're doing this bargaining wrong.
Well, you should have gone higher. No, 15.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, fuck.
Yeah. I should have just stayed at free. Yeah.
Propeller man?
Okay, yeah. So it's not as interesting without the visuals. But imagine a guy with his arm held straight out and in his hand is... like the propeller and engine for like a model airplane. And he's like spins the propeller and he like walks straight at you with like sort of intense purpose. And he's like, model airplane parts. Do you have any, even if they're not working? I'm like, no. He's like, what about, model trains or, remote control cars? Yeah. Even if they're broken. And I'm like, no. There were a bunch of dudes in there, like probably late 40s, 50s type of age that showed up, asked for very specific things, and then just drove off when we didn't have any of them.
Jenny said you got a couple people asking for tools and then guns.
Yeah, there was one guy who showed up and was like, "Do you have any handguns? What about knives, hunting equipment?"
We theorized that there's a...
Did you really ask about swords?
Yes, yeah, swords.
Do you have any flails?
We theorized that there's a hit new reality show where people get into duels, but the rule for the duel is that that's the name of the show.
You can only fight with stuff you find at yard sales.
Exactly. Your choice of weapon is limited to stuff that you can get at a yard sale.
Yeah, I mean, after the first guy showed up, Jenny was like, I guess he had to kill somebody today, and then a second guy showed up with almost the exact same set of questions. Knives, yeah, guns, swords.
It's too bad you had already sold Megatron, because...
Yeah. Could have sold that gun.
Is that Megatron? Is that the Transformer that turns into a shitty broken gun?
Well, my version of him.
Yeah. I don't know. The only time the one yard sale that I've gone to in our neighborhood sold almost exclusively skulls and guns.
Did you need those skulls?
I wanted one, so I bought it. I gave him, I think, $5 for a goat skull.
Nice.
Because you never know when you're going to need one of those.
Yeah.
I might want to make a live action heavy metal album cover that I photograph for a metal band.
You might want to summon a demon of some sort.
Sure. I mean, I need some blood from the same goat, preferably, because otherwise your demon is going to be all retarded. But it's weird, man. The rules are weird. I think maybe if you can clean all the DNA off the skull, there's less of that weird like shifting going on. But yeah, man, it's a problem because sometimes it's like harmless, cute, you know, fucked up demon, but sometimes
you know,
it's
like a big unibrow on it or something.
Oh, sure. And then you're just like, you know, oh, there he goes. He spilled milk again. But, you know, you're not too upset about it. But, like, every once in a while, it's like, fuck, everything, literally everything is on fire. I have doomed humanity to a brief and tormented exit from this world just because the blood didn't match the skull. So now, every time I see a girl on the street, I'm like, hey, baby, does the blood match the skull? Well, because I think maybe she's got a goat skull for sale and also some goat's blood. So that's my yard sale story. I didn't buy any guns from that guy. And I'm guessing that you're pretty happy that's
a thing.
That's a thing.
You don't need any more guns.
That's true. Video games? Do I need any more video games? I need more stories about video games told by my good friends Riff and Kevin.
I finished all the leveling content in Cataclysm.
Okay.
And
what does that mean? So that like you finished every quest?
All the quests. Well, wow, okay, really? Not all the. I've got some dailies left to finish up. Like,
but you did every single like
yes
non-repetitive mm-hmm. quest.
What percentage of that would you say you did after you hit the level cap?
Oh.
20.
Well,
I feel like that's about where it was when I was there.
Yeah, probably something like that because it's something like 5 zones and because so you pick one from a pair and then one from the next pair and then you do the last one.
Oh, is that true? I thought it was a pair and then zone. Because what is it? You do either the underwater stuff or Mount Hyjal.
Right.
And then you go to
but then there's the stone elemental area.
Okay, right. And then
and
there's,
I ended
and then
up
there's
having
the
to
desert,
go back to get that one.
And then there's the Twilight High right. Zones. Okay. So, I mean, I guess maybe because you did both the Underwater Zone and Hyjal, you had leveled past Deepholm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deepholm was really cool. Huh. It was a big cave. I always wanted a whole expansion that was just caves underneath the entire world.
Oh, that would be great.
And you just see the bottoms of stuff.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you go over like a lady's bathroom and you're like, yeah.
Under. You mean under?
Under, yeah, that's what I meant. Fuck. Well,
you and your prepositions.
They have bathrooms down there, too. So every once in a while, you're like, oh, man, I can look down at the top of a lady and up at the bottom of a lady. I am in heaven or perhaps hell.
So, yeah, so now what I've basically got is about 20 daily quests a day to do if I want the various pets that you get out of daily quests.
Like the little rock rumbler guy.
Yeah, and all this cool. Pebble.
Chip? Oh, pebble. Chip would be a good
Chip
name.
Would be a
good should have named him Chip.
And like the Argent Tournament and the Firelands dailies. And
wait, the Argent? I thought the Argent Tournament was... Am I thinking of the... What's that? What was that jousting thing in Cataclysm?
Yeah, the jousting thing in Cataclysm I am also doing. That was the thing that's not jousting, but joust the video game.
Oh,
jousting.
Right. No, I meant the thing in the Scarlet Jubilee.
Scarlet Crusade stuff?
No, the jousting in... I didn't mean Cataclysm. I meant Wrath of the Lich King.
Oh, right. That is what I'm talking about because I never did it previously. So
oh, okay.
I'm going back to it. And just going back and started up my string of starting with the easiest dungeon, Ridge Fire Chasm, and soloing them until I can't do any more.
What, you starting over?
Not with you've a new already, character.
You've already done all.
No,
these,
with an
though.
Identical.
No, but
character
this is
the
a,
one that you already
this is
love.
A new character, so I haven't done those yet. I've got to fill up my trophy case with these boss drops from these solo dungeons.
I see.
That is
what
my
trophy case. There's no trophy case.
There sort of is now, actually, because it's got that void storage now.
But nobody can see that. It's not a trophy
That's,
case.
I mean, nobody could see any. It's trophies for me. This is my WoW hobby.
Okay.
Huh.
Pet collecting and
does
soloing
void storage
old content.
Not go between characters?
I don't know.
Huh. I don't know why I think it does. But if I do, I'm wrong. But you're playing the same class that you already did.
I like this class. This is a good. It's a class that's good at soloing too.
Mm. All classes are good at soloing.
Yeah, not like this because you can do damage. Anything with a druid.
Okay. what else?
That's been pretty much it. Yeah, no other games.
Cool. That's yeah. a lot of
it's been a lot of World of Warcraft. I blew
not
through
even
it.
Any Minecraft?
Not really. I don't really have anything that I've I haven't had any good ideas of something to build.
Not recently. Even any phone games? Not even playing video games while you take a dump?
No.
He
well,
looks at the auction house, I bet.
not as often as that. I check it like once
Wait,
a day.
You don't look at the auction house as often as you poop?
Well, I poop
I
about
check
once a day.
I only check the auction house 6 times a day, so no. Also, can you tell me where a doctor is? And drive me there. No.
There is something. Oh no! What I was going to say was, while I'm pooping, I watch videos of other people playing Minecraft.
Oh, there's other people pooping.
No. Oh.
You know, to get in the
wow,
mood.
That would
yeah.
be great. And then you get somebody to film you doing that, and you just have a big circle poop.
Regression.
Oh. No, Minecraft. I watch Minecraft videos when I'm pooping.
Like
and,
Ethos Lab or something?
Yeah, like Ethos Lab and other associated dudes. And huh. I also watch them to make me sleepy to go to bed at night.
Weird.
See, I watch drug dealers beating each other up and shooting cartel drug lords and stuff to help
you
me
just
go to sleep
open the curtains
at night.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, no, that's when I sleep at the office. Yeah. At home, I just watch. Spoiled rich kids hit car windows with baseball bats.
Jerks.
Fuckers.
I played some Minecraft. I played a couple hours with my girlfriend.
Oh, you have a story.
Yeah, so we were exploring some caves, and there was a chunk load error, and she decided to reload, and when she reloaded, there's this bug in Minecraft where occasionally if the game thinks that you're inside a wall, when it reloads, it will push you up to the next available sort of non-wall region, which in her, this particular case put her at the bottom of the ocean. and
is
so,
the ocean ever so deep that you can't make it to the top before your air runs out?
Yes.
Yes.
Huh.
Many places. She didn't realize what was going on until she was like her oxygen bar was like halfway done. And so I was like, log out, log out. So she logged out and I went out and up and around to roughly where she was, and I built a shelter underground under the surface of the ocean at the bottom of the seafloor, and like filled it with air so that she could breathe.
How do you do that?
It's a pain in the ass. You build like you build a little wall or a ceiling, I guess, above your head, and then you fill in blocks below, and then you break them away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
You could probably also do it with buckets, but it wouldn't.
It would be rough.
It would be rough.
So I did that, and
you can do it with sandpaper, but that's pretty rough.
You know, I did like a 10 by 10. Yeah, I did a 10 by 10 room or whatever under the at the bottom of the ocean.
What? And why 10 by 10?
Because I. What do you mean? Why 10 by 10?
Because he didn't know exactly where.
I didn't
she
know
was.
Where she was.
Oh.
So like I was trying
then
to.
Why 10 by? Why only 10 by 10?
10 by 10 seemed like I was going to be in the right general area, and so I did that, and she logged back in, and she was outside a little room that I made, and she could see it, and she like walked over to it, and then she died, right outside of the thing. And if I had like punched out the walls, it probably would have been fine. But she was on one side of this wall, and I saw all of her all of her possessions poof into this like little. I don't know, mushroom cloud.
Did
and
you
then settle
no.
back. I did. Well, I mean, we were in the same room, so I just said no.
You just said no.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very sad. So, and then she had left her cats. She has three cats, or she had three cats. She had left them in her little Minecraft home that she's been building. And there's another bug in Minecraft where occasionally they will just all appear wherever the hell you are.
That's not a bug. That's a feature.
No, that is a bug.
My understanding is that cats
teleport.
One of the features of cats is that they teleport to you no matter where you are.
Yeah, but if they're sitting, they're not supposed to move.
Yeah,
And they were all sitting. Yeah,
yeah.
When you have animals,
if you deliberately cause them to sit, they're supposed to not appear.
Yeah, and so all of them teleported to her.
Same as dogs.
Under the when we were in the cave, and when she got teleported into the ocean, they were swimming around up top. But then when she logged back in and she was at the bottom of the ocean, they tried to swim down to her, and they all drowned. It's very sad.
Cats are stupid.
Yeah, cats in Minecraft are pretty stupid.
I've never done anything with any pets in Minecraft because I don't want them following me around getting in the way. I don't want to accidentally hit a cat with a pick. And I'll
yeah,
be like,
that
it.
Happens a lot. They will push you into lava.
Yep. I've been watching the Minecraft ultra hardcore tournaments, you know, where the where they've got where
eight
they turn,
people in a small
yeah, where they turn off the healing and last player standing, and there's the previous season to the current one, there is a guy who is looking pretty good to be the winner, but then his dog like appeared next to him while he was crossing a one block bridge and just pushed him off
into lava.
Well, not into lava, but high enough above the ground that it killed him. Yeah.
That is...
It was sad.
To lose to a glitch is lame. Lame. Yeah, so that... And then I've been playing a little Diablo 3, mostly logging into the auction house for, you know, 20 minutes.
I don't know, mostly. The, well, I mean, saw you, the more... I saw you get an achievement for beating Diablo on Nightmare.
Yeah, like, so like I think I will log into Diablo a couple times a week, check the auction house, see if there's anything cool, relist the stuff of mine that didn't sell, and then once a week I will come in and get to put on all the stuff that I upgraded during the course of the week and kill a bunch more stuff, and then another week passes before I'll play again.
I started a new character a couple days ago, and it started on Nightmare difficulty. I didn't realize that that was a thing.
Wait, what?
I joined a public game, and I was just a level one character on Nightmare difficulty.
And how did that go?
I don't know. It didn't make any sense, but I just kept getting achievements for doing things on Nightmare difficulty.
Weird.
That is really weird. How can you even survive as a level one character?
It seems like you wouldn't be able
Nightmare.
To. I don't know. That I don't even know why I said that, because it can't be true. But that's what this thing said.
That is really strange. Huh.
I mean, I did notice that I kept getting killed by packs of elites, but I just attributed that to being a wizard. Because wizards are squishy.
Hmm. There have been a bunch of people talking about the difference between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, or the differences. But primarily people are talking about the changes to the loot system. Whereas in Diablo 2, the contention is that you would regularly have cool drops that were upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game was very much the like peaks of excitement when something cool would drop that you would be able to use. And with Diablo 3, because they have built the entire game around a player economy and an auction house, they've turned down the coolness factor of the drops by a huge, huge degree. So you almost never get a drop that is like an awesome, cool upgrade, especially if you've like outfitted yourself from the auction house. But instead, you're spending your time basically farming gold so that you can go back to the auction house and get like more relevant, cool upgrades. And so it's just a very different kind of player experience. And that argument definitely jived with me just in terms of how I've been playing, which is like looking at the auction house way more often than I've been actually playing the game.
Hmm. I have not found that to be the case. I mean, I you know, I started this new guy and I was like, I'll spend a few thousand at the auction house to like get, you know, replace like my nothing with some low level rare or whatever. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like when we played through it the first time, we knew about it. We just didn't.
Well, but we didn't use it. I mean, we were taking all of the things that dropped, and we were breaking them down into components, and then trying to see what we could get out of the blacksmith.
Yeah,
which was incredibly dissatisfying because I think I maybe wore one piece of something that.
Oh, I got all kinds of stuff out of there.
I just never did. Nothing that he ever made for me was applicable to my class.
Well, I mean, I think what that shows is that that game is still there, right? Because that's how we were playing it.
I mean, yeah, but it was. So then, but once we knew how the game, like once we became more informed about the game, like we would never do that again.
Right, but I would almost say that it is less fun now that I know.
I know. That's what people are saying.
Right. But it was only finding out about that made me feel that way.
Okay. But we would not have been able to survive Nightmare if we had continued playing that one.
Yeah. No, I played all the way through normal without playing the auction hall. And, when I got into Nightmare, it was mean.
I mean, I more or less feel like once you have beaten the game on normal difficulty, that's it for the experience of playing the game. I mean, and everything after that is like bonus new game plus, where it's like, okay, well now I have to start doing stuff that is less fun if I'm gonna, you know, do these like, I mean, they're harder difficulty modes, right? I mean, that's people right, posting about how they're pissed off that, like, oh, well, this is the way the game is meant to be played, so why aren't you letting us into these higher difficulties to begin with? It's like, well, because they're higher difficulties. I mean, it's... I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying that the higher difficulties are balanced for characters that have outfitted themselves with a pretty strong selection of gear from the auction house and not from stuff that's dropped for them, which is a departure from their previous games where you could get all the way up to hell with just stuff that dropped for you.
Okay. But I mean, if somebody didn't want a departure from Diablo 2, they could still be playing Diablo 2, right? So, I mean, this just is a decision that they made. And I mean, I feel like I still get excited when a rare drops because it might be a rare that I can wear, or more likely, it might be a rare that I can sell at auction, right? If it's...
Yeah, but I mean, of the last 200 rares that have dropped for me or whatever, I have probably... I've worn zero, and I have probably sold five, and I have just vendor sold all the rest.
Doesn't make it any less exciting for me.
Yeah, I guess.
I read this thing. I'm going to... actually pull this article up so that I can read some of these quotes. Because this makes me feel like we've lost our way a little bit.
What do you mean by we?
Talk about this. We, people who think and talk about video games.
Okay.
No. Specifically David Serlin. I think David Serlin has lost his way. Like that, there was a post on the forums, a really, really long post about, don't read over my shoulder until I'm just,
okay.
A really long post about these systems that you also linked to in the email that you sent me with that first article that you mentioned about the, you know, whereas with Diablo 2, you would go along and have these spikes of excitement when you got a good drop. In Diablo 3, you go along until it gets super frustrating and then you have to go back to the auction house and then you come back in and you're kicking all kinds of ass.
Right.
That article was not about Diablo 3 being a worse game than Diablo 2.
It was about being less addictive. Yeah.
And so... I mean, I think that commentators are kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Well, but that linked to a much more extensive discussion, which talked about how it was less enjoyable.
Well, I wanted to point out in response to that guy's forum post about, you know, it was like basically it is never optimal to use the blacksmith, so right. The blacksmith needs to change. I don't think that holds any water at all because I used the shit out of the blacksmith on my first playthrough and I enjoyed it. And so
I attempted to use the blacksmith a lot and felt like it was just a complete waste of my time and resources. And so like I got kind of disgusted with it as a system. So we had two very different experiences of that.
I mean, I enjoyed leveling him the same way I enjoy collecting non-combat pets.
Right. So you think the game would be better without the blacksmith in it?
No, but I think that having a little bit more control over what you got does. Like, if I am making freaking wizard hat or whatever, don't give it to me with plus 100 strength on it. I think that's just dumb. Personally, right?
I mean, you have to put it somewhere. The needle for what this does, you have to put it somewhere.
Right.
And if... Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you weren't making wizard. Were you making wizard hats? No, it's not like you don't.
The wizard hat is the hat,
and so only wizards can wear that. Whatever it is,
there is an item called a wizard hat that only wizards can wear.
Okay,
it's like the belts that only barbarians can wear.
Okay, I didn't know that the blacksmith ever did those things, but what I saw the blacksmith as was a refinement of Geed. From Diablo 2.
I don't remember what Geed
the
was.
Gamble. Just the,
oh, where you like just, enchant
here's
piece
a bunch
of gear.
Of a, no, it's not even enchant a piece of gear. It's like, here's a bunch of gear. Here's a bunch of unidentified gear that costs an amount of gold. And it was the only thing the gold was any good for in Diablo 2, right? Because the duping made it so that there was just this like de facto currency of Stones of Jordan. And if you didn't have any of those, you couldn't ever get them on purpose. And so it basically
became one drop by
extremely
accident.
Difficult to participate in that economy as a casual player. And I think that in that respect, Diablo 3 is way more interesting for...
I mean, you had to get a powerful drop that you could then sell for Stones of Jordan.
But I mean, I played hundreds of hours of Diablo 2 and never was able to participate in the economy whatsoever. Right.
You never had any pieces of set gear that you could sell?
I mean... I don't remember, but no. I mean, I never had anything that anybody wanted the entire time. All that I ever did was I traded gems with people. I traded one kind of gem for the kind of gem that I wanted, right? And it made me happy, and it was worth playing online to be able to do that, but that was it. And that was all I was ever interested in doing. And people did that because nobody gave a shit, because it just didn't matter to them. So they're, sure, whatever, dude. Get out of my game. Let me read this sermon, because this goes into the same thing. In this article about the ability system, he is coming out like very distinctly in praise of the skill system in Diablo 2. And the opening paragraph contains this system: Diablo 2's ability system was so bad that it's almost unbelievable. And then later on, he says, one of the most mind-blowing fumbles in design out there, talking about the skill system in Diablo 2.
The trees.
David Sirlin is a guy who is all about balance in games. Like, that's just sort of what he is known for, is being a games balance guy, right? And he's real good at it, and great. He looks back on Diablo 2 with the lens of what has happened to games like this in the intervening, 12 years?
I mean, 13 years. Can I say something? Go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead. But I feel like the only thing that it needed was the ability to respec, and it would have been fine, right?
Needed is an extremely strong word there.
Well,
right? Because here's the thing. He will look at this system and say, all right, since the best way to play this is to not use any of your skill points at low level and save them all so that you can max out the optimal damage dealing skills for whatever particular build you're going for, this is a bad system. And I could not disagree with that more, because the skill system in Diablo 2 was fucking awesome. It was a lot of fun, and it was fucking awesome. And nothing that math says about anything can take away the joy that I experienced playing with those systems casually as a player going through at lowish levels, because I don't fucking care what my build is going to be at level 99, because you know what? I'm never going to get there. I'm going to start a new character and fuck around with a different character before I ever get to 99. Right. And to say that system is bad, inherently bad, is to focus on balance at the expense of fun. And I think that while something that is fun and balanced is the platonic ideal of a game system, in 100% of cases, I will play a game that is fun instead of a game that is balanced, if I only get one of those options. I mean, maybe if you're not going to be like a tooth goblin or whatever they call the build of the necromancer that relies on having teeth maxed out, so it doesn't make any sense for you at level 4 to put skills in, to put up one point in teeth because you have a point to spend. But you know what? It lets you throw some fucking teeth at some dudes, and that's awesome. And so it was not a fucking wasted skill point. It was a skill point that let me throw some teeth at some dudes and see some fucking teeth flying across the screen and hit some dudes, and it was awesome. And
so it's basically a problem of designers starting to listen to spreadsheet min-maxers?
Well, I don't know. I
feel like you can maintain all of that joy and allow a character to respec, and suddenly they get the joy of building a character, and then the joy of being able to, without having to start over, try something else.
Yeah.
And maybe that's preferable, but it was not a bad system, right?
I think saying that it's a bad system is a misstatement.
You know, the guy that designed that system, by all accounts, he came in and sort of rescued Diablo 3 from a real
Diablo 2 from a real
morass that it was in, and by coming in and just saying like, look, this is how this should work, and just like basically inventing that system, which then was used in every game that came out in the 10 years since then. Like, that guy gave a talk, and all that guy wanted was for shit to be fun, and he succeeded. Good old Stig Hedlund, A, has the coolest name in the world. And that's why almost all of my characters in MMOs that I don't really care about are named either Stig or Hedlund. I know. I like that dude. He was a good guy, and his goal was to make fun games for people, right? And I don't know, man. It's like the esports dipshits have just convinced the world that their way of looking at this is the only meaningful mm-hmm. way of looking at this, and so everything has to operate in these parameters.
Blizzard does it on both ends, or they're trying to, right? They're like they are trying to make skills that are awesome and fun, but then also balanced at the high end, and I feel like that's a worthwhile pursuit, right? Like why not go for both things?
It is a worthwhile pursuit, but if you have to choose between one or the other, I think that if you don't choose fun and instead choose balance, you are losing sight of what it is that we're trying to do by making fucking video games.
Well, okay, so I mean, you could make a version of football where one team got knives. Right, and it would be pretty fun for that team, and it would be pretty, you know, potentially entertaining to watch in a morbid way or whatever.
But Diablo is a game that you're playing against imaginary demons. It's not chess.
There's going to be a PvP,
and you know what? That will not do anything except harm to the fucking game that I like.
Okay, but I mean, they're building these systems.
So much shit about my World of Warcraft character just became nonsense and horseshit because of changes that they made for PvP. And I get why they did it, because PvP was the thing that was important to them, but it just fucking having to deal with making those things balanced made them less fun.
I think the analogy of the one team having knives and the other team having none is too unbalanced for the metaphor. I think it'd be more like one team having knives and the other team having baseball bats with nails in them. Which I think would be awesome, okay. And I would love to
one
watch.
One team, they all have knives, and one team, one of them has a gun. But it only has three bullets. But the bullets are swords. So if you shoot your teammates, then they get a sword.
But the swords are cursed.
Okay.
But the curse is Flint.
Okay. This is getting harder to figure out. But you know what? That sounds fucking awesome. It doesn't sound balanced, but it sounds awesome.
Right.
So yeah, do you shoot one of your own teammates first to get the cursed flight sword?
You shoot yourself in the foot.
Right.
And then hand the gun to somebody else so that they get to make the decision. Sure, or do you throw the gun to the other team, hoping that while they are trying to figure out what to do with it, you can
pick up their knife and stab them with it?
Or just pick up a rock and hit them from behind with it. Right? Oh, also, this football field is covered with rocks.
So basically, we've just invented Blood Bowl, by the way.
It upsets me to see somebody describe something that was super fucking fun to me as just a, like, boneheaded, the worst system in the history of video games.
Because, it does seem like a very limited perspective.
I mean, it seems like people that talk... that speak hyperbolically like that, you can pretty much just ignore anyway.
Well, I mean, but I think this is more a case of to a man whose only tool is a David Serlin, every problem looks like something that is unbalanced, right? I mean, it's okay. So
that metaphor was a little
sure. It got a little
stretched.
If all your cultists are Twilight's hammer.
Yeah, man. I just
So it's an interesting perspective. Like David Serlin looks at that and thinks this is the worst unbalanced thing, and you look at it and think this is the most fun I've ever had. And the truth is probably somewhere in between those two things,
well,
right?
I'm not saying it's the most fun,
but it was a bunch of fun.
I am not saying that it was perfect. I am just saying that I played it and enjoyed it. And the fact that some people felt compelled to save all of their skill points,
I definitely after my first 20 or 30, I definitely was like, huh, I wonder what is a way that I could, you know, improve the damage output, and then I would regret the 3 or 4 points that weren't spent well.
I mean, so who knows if this is because of the systems or because of the passage of time, but I just don't give a fuck when I gain a level in Diablo 3. You know, it's
every level I gain,
rune on a skill I've never used and never will.
And every time I gain a level, I go through and I look at all the skills and see if I want to try it out. And if it sounds interesting, I'll swap it in for a skill and try it out. You know, I've kind of stuck with my wizard. I've kind of stuck with my laser death beam thing, but I've definitely switched around from the freeze ray. I tried teleport for a while, and then I switched from that to diamond skin, and that is where it's at for me right now.
I mean, with my barbarian that I've played the most, I have a single skill that I swap when it's single target damage versus
Sure.
You know, and even that, they don't even want you to do that. Like, once you get to the level cap, you lose all of your stacks of Nephilim Valor if you switch skills.
What is Nephilim Valor?
It's the... So when you're playing at level 60, the system kicks in where killing a champion mob gives you 15 minutes of a buff that is a really serious plus, plus magic drop.
Huh. Really?
And so it stacks up to 5 times. So what they're making you do is play, like, the best way to farm the boss of an act is to just play through the entire act and get this buff up, but you can't swap out your skills or you lose the stacks that are on there. And so, I mean, this is the thing. Like, they understand that it is fun to make these choices and to differentiate the characters, but they're, like, not allowed to get people to... They're not allowed to insist that people commit to any decisions that they make because it's, like... I feel like letting people gimp their characters is a thing that upsets a vanishingly small minority of players, but they are the loudest pricks on the forums. Well, and so it just becomes this thing that's totally off limits.
I mean, is it that, or do they have more data and information than we do, and they realize that that's just a bad idea, right? Like...
I mean, maybe it is, you know? I mean, it is certainly the case that, like, clicking a button to randomly roll your stats in the beginning of an RPG is some horse shit.
I mean, and
so
also
we've stopped doing that, and rightly so.
There's gimping, and then there's what those loudmouths would call gimping.
I mean,
which is the one misplaced point.
I think when I started out as a druid, I put all of my points in Raven or whatever, right? Like that, like I had just a fuck ton of birds following me everywhere,
yeah,
which
that's
was
awesome.
It was fun, but I ended up making a new character. Because after a while, it just became obvious that that was just not helping me at all, right? I was way underperforming other people of my.
I mean, it sounds
of
like
my level or whatever.
It sounds like it started to seem what you had done in the past started to seem like a bad idea as soon as Diablo 2 went from a game to a fucking job.
But it wasn't a job. It was like I was playing with other people and like either getting killed a lot or like just they were ripping through shit and I was like, why can't I kill anything? And they would get all the drops. Like, it was, you know, it was just dissatisfying. You know, and Diablo 3 has solved a lot of those problems by, like, they can't steal my drops. You know, like...
I mean, what I kind of worry is that we are moving towards... we're moving towards a future in which picking a class at the beginning of the game is anathema to a designer in these situations.
Huh.
Because, I mean, can you switch classes in World of Warcraft? At this point,
I don't think so.
You can switch races
for money.
And factions for money.
Yeah, and because not all races have access to all classes, so you must be able to switch classes in certain circumstances.
Yeah,
at least.
I mean, there's a lot more race class combinations available than there
so
used to be. But like,
why? What does that even mean? So you have a character at the level cap, and you just change it from a night elf druid
I think so.
To a
sure.
Yeah,
because, human
because
priest
people can't be trusted to commit to any fucking decisions.
Well, and is it that, or is it that Blizzard's like, well, there is a subset of players that want to do this, and we can charge them $20, and why not?
No, I'm not saying that we are at this point. I'm saying I'm worried that we're moving to this point where it's like,
but
you are losing over time the number of permanent, impactful decisions that you are allowed to make about the progression of your character in these games. And there is nothing there's no theoretical framework separating you picking one skill versus another and you picking one class versus another. So at some point, it's like, that's going to become the thing, right? Well, since paladins at the very top end, since you can't make any fucking choices anymore, and the game makes all the choices for you, now the very best paladin does a tenth of a percent more damage than the very best warrior. So why did you let me fucking gimp myself by becoming a warrior in the first place?
I don't think it'll move to the game making all the decisions for you. I think it may well move to you always being able to unmake any decision that you've made and try something else. That's not the same
thing.
Which
you always could by making another character and just playing the video game some more. I mean, that's the thing, right? It's like...
I mean, that's true for a short-term video game, but not
but
so much
for... a long-term video game. People,
but a game...
You've played two characters to the level cap in World of Warcraft, and you're not even that hardcore.
Two druids. Like that's what's weird, right? Like, you are so into druids that you just... leveled an entire second druid.
Well, because the second druid was a worgen, which I'd never seen. And
okay, but you could have played that one up to level 20.
Yeah,
but I mean,
I
it was also
have,
all
but...
the content between 20 and 80 was new to him.
Yeah,
too.
Sure.
Right, I mean, it's not...
No, I mean, to be sure.
Like, I mean, it was basically like playing another copy of his character through some new content and not being super overpowered for it, which I understand. Yeah. I would never do it.
I mean,
but I understand
we like to make new characters and play them. Maybe there are people that only ever have one tune.
Yeah, I mean, if I'd played World of Warcraft consistently over the past 5 years or however long it's been, and had collected a gigantic stable of mounts from holidays and raids and all this stuff.
Literal stable of mounts.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Stable.
Yes, yes. Then I would not want to give that up to switch characters.
There's a lot of stuff that are extremely difficult to get. Like if you get one of the one-time mounts or something like that, or
yeah, or if I had one of the mounts from content that's not in the game anymore, or
it just makes it mean more.
Well, yeah, it does make it mean more, but it makes it mean more in such a way that if then I wanted to. It makes it mean more in such a way that you're locked into that character. So,
okay, well, so then do you think that World of Warcraft would be better if you could switch classes at will? Because I just don't. I mean,
at will is a weird thing, right? Like if I have to pay $20 to switch a class, that's a pretty significant choice to make, right?
But that's not what I'm saying. Do you think World of Warcraft would be better if you could switch classes at will is the question that I asked.
Probably not.
Okay.
I don't think it would be significantly worse.
All right.
I mean, I think that people would be switching classes all the time and not know what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah, but
and
I mean...
And so, like, the game itself would suffer because people didn't know how to play their class. But people don't know how to play their class.
Yeah, people don't know how to play it. And that's getting better now with the way they're making the single-player content bosses
like teach you how to
raid. I think what would happen is people would scamper around all the different classes until they decided which one they liked the best. And then they would learn how to play that class.
I mean, and I feel like that's always what people have done by making a bunch of alts until they found something that was fun.
Sure. But now you would have the advantage of being able to do this all in the same character and not having to deal with a whole ton of alts with all their gear and stuff scattered
and
all
having
over
to
all
level
these different characters.
8 or 10 different characters and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun for us.
Video game, and it's fun.
It is fun for us.
Yeah.
You know, people want to play these games in very different ways. These games are such complicated systems that they've got so much going on that not every person is going to want to interact with every aspect of it. There are people who probably never want to touch the auction house or whatever, and so that's fine, you know? Let them...
Except apparently they can't ever do anything.
Well, I mean, I think you're going to have a really hard time progressing very far in, like, Diablo 3 without gear from other players. But, you know, so here's a question. So all of the, every player, so like 6 million people or whatever of Diablo 3, all of that is being funneled into the same auction house. Is that right?
No, because there's like North America and there's Europe and there's Asia.
Okay, so all the North American players, that's still probably like 1 million or 2 people.
Yeah. I jumped into a public game the other day and was playing with somebody whose name was a bunch of Chinese characters.
It's possible to
play. There's global play.
Yeah, it's possible to play on like the different world zone or whatever, but you're locked into a particular auction hall.
I'm assuming that it was the pictograms for Balls Face 69 or something. Man,
super wizard.
I have not played a public game with anybody that did not have just the dumbest fucking name. Mm. I can't think of any particular examples because mostly they were just like YR69T420 or whatever. Like, and
you might be seeing
robots.
I was going to say you might be seeing people's BattleNet tags or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. I wonder what they see. Because I always saw your BattleNet name
right
when we were playing and not ever your character name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like whatever they wanted to do, they got so much...
Flack?
Bitrial. And vitriol and bitterness about...
Vitriol?
I don't know, man. I was kind of hoping that would work. I know that there are these serious issues where if somebody finds out that you're a girl, then your life is ruined on the internet. But I kind of feel like what they were trying to do
was like a real name thing.
With the real name thing was to just say, all right, guys, we've had our fun. Now let's all start acting like fucking human beings on the internet. And just didn't work. And it wasn't the normal peanut gallery saying that it was a terrible idea, you know? Like, it wasn't the people whose behavior probably would have improved a lot. It was the people who were like, no, I don't want this system if this system doesn't have any repercussions. And then, you know, they're not going to allow it to have any repercussions. This is not to trivialize the feelings of girl gamers who get harassed by dudes.
Did you see the, like, report player options?
No.
It was like, report player, real life emergency kind of stuff. And I was like, real life, what? Like, it was like it escalated very fast from like harassing, bothering me, right, to like threatened me in real life.
Gold spam has knife to my throat.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? It was like only a list of like five options. And like the bottom three were all like felonies or something. I was like,
wow.
I mean, I'd have to look at it again. I was like, what the hell? So yeah, I don't know. Somehow an online interaction is, people are just assholes on the internet, and I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon.
So people are big assholes on YouTube, not so much on Facebook. I think that's more or less a thing that is true. And the difference is that with Facebook, it's like there are consequences because it's your real identity. And I really think that they were trying to do some good in the world by doing that.
Who, Facebook?
No, Blizzard was.
Oh, by having real names.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that was probably a good idea for the world, but it just ended up being like, oh, man. Was it unpopular or was it just a handful of whiners?
I don't know what you're talking about specifically. Was there an initiative to do real name stuff?
Yeah, I mean, they had decided this is what we're doing. Like, you're going to get this BattleNet account and you're going to be identified by your real name. And then people were like, no, I will stop buying Blizzard products completely if I have to reveal to the people that I'm playing with that I am a girl. Like, that was the...
I mean, I don't think that was the only issue, but it was privacy concerns in general.
That was mostly what I saw. I mean, and then people started doing like, all right, well, we've posted the real names and addresses of all the people who work at Blizzard. And then people at Blizzard were just like, God damn it. No, I don't think it was actually like, no, I'm really scared. Because they could find out their fucking names anyway, you know? I mean, if those people could find it, anybody could find it. And it's like... Do you feel threatened by somebody who knows your name?
I don't make it like crazy easy for somebody to find out like how to call me, right?
And I feel like it's the difference between locking your door and like hermetically sealing your house in a molten metal pyramid.
You don't like when you meet somebody, you don't give them a card with your address, phone number, and email address, right? Like,
no, but if I tell them my name, they could find that if they wanted to, and I trust them not to because we're fucking civil society, and there are
a lot of people that are not so civil.
Well, only on the internet when you can't also do the same thing to them.
There's also a lot of people that are dicks in real life.
Do you hide your name from them?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, what's my name when we go to Safeway?
Sure. Am I allowed to say it?
Sure.
Am I allowed to say it? What is George Weisskopf?
Something. Well, fuck, I don't even know.
I think it's
George
Weisskopf.
Weisskopf.
Yeah. They always say, thanks, Mr. Weisskopf, when I go in there by myself. And it's like, oh, we're both Mr. Weisskopf. I'm pretty sure the people at Safeway think that Kevin and I are a couple.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Right. I mean, oh, these are two guys that do all their grocery shopping every week together.
In the middle of the day.
They alternate. Whose turn is it to pay, honey? That's what we always say. Anyway, those are the video games we've been playing and the people who think we're gay. Kevin, what's in the news? I heard that E3 is happening and it's fucking boring.
Yeah. I basically just don't want to talk about anything that was discussed at E3.
All the coverage is like, it's been, Giant Bomb has been okay. The very first, everybody who listens to this should also listen to there's a 45 minute pre E3 episode of Giant Bomb where they just talked to Paul Barnett for 45 minutes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I'll listen to while I'm doing my infinite daily quests tonight.
Infinite daily?
Well, it seems that way sometimes. It's a good couple, 3 hours worth of daily quests.
Jesus, Riff.
I think of pooping as a daily quest whose reward is bowel comfort.
I thought you were going to say poop.
What about a boweling trophy? probably the most important news for all our listeners is that you have 1 week to buy the Humble Indie Bundle number 5.
Oh, I read which that is crazy. Not HIBV, but HIVB. Like, oh, fuck. Oh. Somebody invented a variant.
Humble Indie Bundle number 5, which includes just probably the best lineup of games for an indie bundle
I've
ever seen.
All of you should probably already own.
Well, I mean, if you've been loyal listeners, you probably already got at least 3 of these. But Psychonauts, Limbo.
You're only loyal if you spend money. Amnesia. Is what I was trying to say.
Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery and Bastion.
I bought a copy of it to gift to someone.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to give them some money.
Yeah, they're great. All those games are good. My girlfriend bought it, and Psychonauts not running so well on her old iMac. So that's potentially
one of the old
problem.
Like fruit flavored ones.
Yes. No. I mean, it's like a modern computer inside the monitor.
It's like the one of peppermint clams.
Yeah, it's a peppermint clam.
Yeah.
Like you open up the clam inside instead are of these a pearl.
All,
is a...
Do these all have Mac versions? Is there a Mac Limbo?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I may pick it up just to get Mac Limbo.
The Sword and Sorcery, I'm not sure if that's on the PC or not. That might only be an App Store thing. It will eventually be
on... No, there's a... It was on... It became available on Steam a while back, I think.
But I think it might not be on Mac yet.
Oh, you said PC.
Well, okay, sorry.
I'm pretty sure it's on Mac Steam.
I mean, I guess a Mac is technically a personal computer.
Yeah, but it's... All 5 of those games are great and should be played. Limbo's pretty short. Sword and Sorcery is pretty short. Amnesia is...
Well, sort of, depending on how you play it, Sword and Sorcery. It can be either very short or it can take an entire lunar month.
I don't think so.
Sure.
I don't... There's...
If you wait for the moons instead of using the...
Oh, but that's it. That's if you're not using the systems that they give you
spoilers.
To do stuff.
Spoilers! I could never beat that first fucking boss.
Oh, the gold Trigon?
Yeah. Mm.
It's just a timing game.
I know, and it takes so long to get to the point where I failed that it was not at all fun anymore. I know. I can feel your hatred.
It's not hatred. It's like this lack of patience or whatever it is that drives you out of video games, I feel like, goes into other sectors of your life.
I think it's taste. Yeah. I don't have time to be patient.
Microsoft has announced its Smart Glass app, which half of it
track of how much you drink.
Half of it is just synchronization between your devices. So it's like if I start watching a movie on my phone, and then I bring up the movie on my TV, it'll be in the same place or something like that. But then the other half of it seems to be that like while you're watching something like on your TV. Your phone will have like subsidiary information about it. It's like this actor was born in 1963. Yeah. Their favorite food is mangoes.
So you can hold your phone up and play pop-up video.
So you can be an insufferable modern day prick without even trying.
I guess. I don't know. I've not seen any practical applications of it. This is just how it was described. While you're playing a game, I think there was an app that was kind of like this for Batman Arkham. City,
yeah, there was whatever. An iPad app that was a old map of...
I know there's a Mac... there's an app on my iPhone called Calendar, which I assume is something to do with Calendar Man.
Right.
Also, there is iTunes Man is another character in Arkham City. You have to go and talk to him while listening to every song, and you get an achievement for all of them.
Yeah. So that's... I mean, who knows whether that will be something that's pretty cool or not. Rift is going to have an expansion.
It's like hells of expansion too. Like
huge amounts of new content,
tripling the landmass of the game and adding some
10
stuff.
The level caps up by 10. They're adding a new equipment slot, a bunch of new quests.
What kind of equipment? I mean, like a
cape.
Huh?
Yeah.
Not like dong sheath.
No. No.
Female characters don't get it.
There was a pretty cool
I'm not going to say
astronomical
to flip it inside out
astronomical event yesterday, which was
Ray Bradbury died.
Yep, and his soul passed in front of the sun.
Right, just before he died, his soul passed in front of the sun. And it took a really long time.
Transit of Venus sounds like a dirty Victorian novel title.
Yep. Yep.
I watched that live stream of it on the NASA. I didn't.
Did you go blind?
No, I never. I did not feel like if I made my traditional like sort of pinhole viewer thing that I would actually be able to see it.
Because I saw somebody do it. Somebody's picture of
it. Yeah, I saw some pictures of it, but I never was able to get
the eclipse to work.
No, just I could never get it very big. I could never get the projected image of the eclipse to be big enough that I would have been able to see Venus's shadow in front of the sun.
I see.
Yeah.
You put a pinhole in a thing and then you project it against a wall on the other side of the room.
Okay.
In a really dark room.
How do you get a really dark room with the sun shining into it? You don't.
You have a pinhole.
You put a pinhole in your wall.
Yes.
Okay. So you get like a really big pin.
You get blackout curtains and you tape a pinhole.
You tape a hole to it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got right on that.
Yeah.
Is that all the news?
That's basically it. Yeah, Ray Bradbury died. I mean, I'm sad a little bit, but I saw him talk kind of like Mumble. 6 years ago, and he was not in good shape.
Yeah, he's been real, real old for a really long time. Yeah, it seems to be. I remember the first time I saw him, and somebody was like, "Hey, that's Ray Bradbury," and I was astonished that Ray Bradbury was still alive.
Yeah, he died at 91. Mm-hmm. So.
Wait, he died in 91 and we're just hearing about it now?
Yeah.
Time warp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is pretty fitting.
It was a hologram of Ray Bradbury being pushed around Comic-Con.
Well, the light is just now reaching us from where he died.
I didn't realize Comic-Con was that far away.
Yeah.
Cool news, bro. So this week's assignment, Ticket to Ride Pocket.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about it.
I'm gonna paste in the highlights of our. We re-recorded an entire game of it, and it was mostly boring silence, punctuated by Riff occasionally calling one of us a motherfucker.
Yep,
mainly Kevin.
Well, no, I mean you might think that's a girl. Do you have a red scarf?
Yeah,
it's jaunty. You're a jaunty boy, not a girl.
No, but I mean it's all about strategy, right? Like,
but
in. You don't feel bad attacking somebody in risk.
Being a serial killer is all about strategy, right?
Like, no, that's ridiculous.
Ticket to Ride, the game for serial killers. You heard it here first.
In Risk Legacy, you know, there are distinct times that you attack somebody else because you're trying to prevent them from winning. And like, why is that fundamentally different than putting a train somewhere in this game?
Well, I mean, I think that's why I always lose at Risk Legacy is because there are not times where I attack somebody to prevent them from winning. So Ticket to Ride Pocket. What do you guys think of board games being turned into video games in general?
It depends on the game. There, that's my answer. No, but I mean, for things that are complicated and have a lot of bits and a lot of math to do, it's nice to have the computer to do that for you.
One thing that I found myself tempted to do that I stopped myself from doing with this game is, since getting a high score on Ticket to Ride is so dependent on luck with the draw of the routes that you get in the beginning of the game, I found myself starting games, seeing that it was a shitty set of routes available, and just quitting and starting a new one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I definitely scummed a lot of games. I need to stop doing that.
Maybe that's how you get that fucking 20,000 games played achievement.
Quitting a game does not count as playing a game.
Oh, bogus.
Trust me.
Because if it did, I would probably just start quit 20,000 times. I don't think I would do that.
I spent some time early in the wee hours of the morning today. Trying to get as many of the achievements as I could, and
because you got to get those chivos,
I do. And I got almost all of the ones that are not crazy, like the 20,000 games played. I did not get over 240 points. I got 235, which is close enough for me.
I only ever got a 205,
and then I did not get 15 fucking tickets, 15 routes, I guess, in one game, and then I did not get all the black routes in one game that you also win.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems rough.
That seems the also winning seems trickier than getting the.
Yeah, you have to get all of the five long routes, which is pretty tough, and still win. So that one was the one that I scummed for the longest. There's exactly.
Wait, what do you mean all of the five long routes?
So there's a bunch of six long routes on the thing. on the map. They give you like 15 points if you complete I guess not like a train route, but like a between two cities, a connection.
Yeah.
Right. So like some of them are six long, some of them are five, four, three, two, and one. So you have to get, there are five train car.
Right. Length. Are you still talking about getting all the black routes achievement?
No.
Okay.
This is a separate achievement. Okay. To get all the five routes is one of the achievement and still win. And so you're not going to get longest train, basically. And you can basically not, there's only probably three different routes that you could actually complete. The ticket routes that you could actually complete.
Too Much Joy is the name of the band that I was trying to think of earlier that did that song Train in Vain.
Okay. There's probably only three routes, and like you know, you have to pick two routes at the beginning, and you can never do more than one route. It's just a mess. So like I scummed it until I got the 11 point route that I could complete, and then a really low point value that I wasn't going to be able to complete, so that at least I was going to be positive.
Did you have fun doing all of these things?
It was interesting. You know, I enjoy systems, and I enjoy
getting them chivos.
Well, the achievements are. Well-designed achievements are sort of interesting, sort of 90-degree approaches to the traditional systems, right? So this was like, don't try to win in a traditional way. Try to win with this sort of very odd secondary constraint. And so that was like figuring out how to do it and then actually managing to pull it off was kind of cool.
I mean, I think a lot of them have their genesis in like, we accidentally made this thing possible.
Right.
So then let's acknowledge when that happens because it's cool.
Yeah.
But then it like became a thing that people like struggle to collect.
Sure.
And feel like they're being forced into playing a certain way.
I accidentally played 20,000 games.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That just seems like a joke. That's the kind of achievement that I would put in to make it so people did not feel compelled to get all the achievements, because this one is clearly
a joke.
Yeah.
Play an infinite number of games.
Yes, exactly. Score 9 million points in one game.
Looking at the leaderboard, I think 295 points is the maximum number of points possible. And I'm curious, like
some like variants that you can buy as as in-app purchases.
I'm curious.
IAP DLC.
How, like, now I want to get an actual copy of the game and see if it's like what the optimal solution to that is. Like,
does your girlfriend not own a copy of the game?
I don't know. She might.
I feel like maybe this is a game that I have looked at the box while eating breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I do eat breakfast at a lot of strangers' houses. That's true.
And in game stores.
I remember taking the original Settlers of Catan and being like, okay.
Swallowing all the pieces.
No,
for breakfast.
I was like, you know, I think I could probably figure out a way where there's a no-win condition for this game. Yeah. And so I did. I found a way that you could play such that no one can win, which was kind of interesting to me. But it's
like a particular distribution.
Yeah.
Of
where there's just no way for any of the players to win. It's a deadlock. Not that anyone, it would require a bunch of stuff that would be unlikely to happen in a real game.
Would people have to get the exact right random layout and then coordinate to make this happen?
I mean, so it requires like all of the settlements to be placed as far apart as possible. So everyone is always on opposite sides of hexes and stuff like
you,
that.
You, by playing a game, have the ability to make it so no one else can win. So is that, are you?
No,
are you
that's not, that is not, for no, what you're talking no about? One wins. No one who is playing wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is it because you play the game up until the last move and then you quit?
And then I die.
No, the only way to win is if Kevin dies. It's a strange game, Jonathan. Do you think he was talking to Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Jonathan Swift.
Was Jonathan the name of the computer? It's not even Jonathan. Joshua.
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 That was the computer. That was the name of his son that died or whatever.
Joshua Swift.
Yeah.
It's funny that his password was also the name of the computer. Nobody's ever going to figure this out, guys.
I don't think it was named Joshua.
The lead hacksaw. No, he's talking to Joshua. At the end, Marty is all, stop it, Joshua.
Marty. Yeah, don't shoot me, Joshua.
There's that little green ghost.
Yeah.
Which you have to not feed after midnight.
He's eating all the hot dogs. Yeah. It's pretty good. This is a pretty good movie.
He's got a broken leg. So he has to do a one-legged kick.
Do you guys want to see a dead body?
We can get there if I can build this device that will make let us fly.
A lot of people don't know a lot about that one.
Really?
Yeah, you're doing Explorers.
Yeah,
right? That movie figured very heavily into our childhoods, but no one else's, and that explains why we're BFF soulmates. Wolfgang. She was so enthusiastic about giving Wolfgang some dinner. You saw that movie, didn't you, Riff? No, I didn't. It was only me and Kevin in the whole world.
Yeah,
the
I
only
must ones not have. Seen.
And boy, did that I'm movie get stupid of at the it, very of end.
It, yeah.
This is the movie Explorers. Here's what I recommend. Watch it until they go up and then just turn it off.
Watch Batteries Not Included or something instead.
Oh, yeah? I've never seen Batteries Not Included.
It's all right. Okay. Yeah.
Wasn't there also Flight of the Navigator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disney's The Kid. That Disney's The Kid was something else. I dated a girl that made me watch that, and then I was like, I don't think this relationship is going anywhere. This is really one of her favorite movies.
It's not what you're like. It's what you like.
Yeah. It's not what you're like. It's whether or not you like fucking Black Knight starring Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. So, Ticket to Ride as a board game. Have you ever played it?
I have.
What do you think of it as a board game?
I mean, it's one of those games where
Entrapment
I'm
starring
just...
Catherine Jones.
I don't remember if we talked about this on a podcast or not. It was the joke that Aaron Burke made up. If you ever want to know if somebody is a cop, ask them what their favorite movie is, because if they don't tell you, it's Entrapment starring Catherine Zeta-Jones. That was great. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's one of those games where you have to start being a dick to other people if you really want to play effectively, and I just don't want to do that. It's Ticket to Ride.
I feel like this most recent game that we played, no one intentionally was being a dick to anybody else. They were just trying to get their routes done.
Yeah. You were fucking.
I was.
You were fucking up my.
All
shit
of my trains
time.
Were connected. Every single one of them was
the
connected
only
to my
you
route.
Beat me is because you stabbed me in the back. You struck out from your heart at my heart. And you plunged a dagger.
So obviously, into my the way you should play this game is everybody has their own board.
Yeah, and just
and then when the game's over,
solitaire
everyone compares.
And you compare scores.
Yeah,
yeah. And then you just keep doing that until everybody wins at the same time. And that's how we have fun here at Romper Room.
Do you feel like the video game translation of it was accurate? Did it maintain a lot of the feeling of it?
It was definitely accurate in that I only ever play Ticket to Ride, the board game, against a single person whose name is Marg.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I wasn't sure if those were supposed to be puns on or if they're just like weird.
Because at first I thought it was like, who the Marg Luffbot? But then was it Lobot? Because she's low skilled. And then
I don't know.
It's like E Cunningest or something. And then.
That's very nearly dirty.
Nippler. Viceroy Nipples. I don't remember what the other characters' names are.
Once again, we're talking about Ticket to Ride Pocket Edition.
You pulling this up? Man, I at first I was very put off by the game on the iPhone, and so I went and bought the iPad version just so I would be able to learn the learn the rules.
That's pretty
on
much
a
what
larger
I did. Yeah.
Screen. Then I played it once there
because my first turn on the phone game took me like 10 minutes of trying to figure out how to take my first turn.
You know, but then it turned out on the iPad version, the pile of tickets is in a different place, and it took me 3 or 4 games before I figured out how to draw new route tickets.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's you and then Marg Lobot, C. Huntington Bot, or C. Hunting Bot, Chunting Bot, Jane Stanbot, and Vanderbot Jr.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't.
That doesn't, you know, those names don't tell me anything about these people, except the people making this game did not know that Marg is not a name.
Chunt.
One of those, it kind of sounds like a name.
Mm. Chunt and G-Bot. I mean, Marglo.
Chunt.
I thought maybe they were trying to make puns about like famous people. I had no fucking idea. I don't know.
Okay.
Like Vanderbilt and Vanderbot.
Yeah, that's. I mean, and he looks like an industrialist.
Jane Stanbot. I don't get.
Jane Mansfield.
Yeah, I don't know.
Trains.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ah, man.
So something that this adds, the single player variant, which I don't think is something you can do in the board game, is actually a lot of fun. I have played a bunch of the single player.
Is it really single player?
Well,
can you play with zero opponents?
No.
You just play with one shitty opponent.
You're playing versus an AI. I mean, it allows you to play without any other humans.
Right, which is great if you're a friendless internet twerp.
It seems to me like figuring out who got the longest route seems like it's probably a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. Not having to physically keep score and stuff would be obnoxious, too. I have really grown to like board games that do the Magic the Gathering thing where they, as a fundamental guiding design principle, do not require you to actually keep any information in your head. Right? I mean, I guess
everything
magic,
is tokens. And,
yeah. Magic has your life as the only sort of metagame information.
But that's also supposed to be with tokens of some kind.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just the having to every time you put down some trains, having to look at a chart and give yourself the number of points, like writing down the number of points that train thing is worth, as opposed to there just being
you don't have some to do card. That. You could
tally it all up at the end.
You could. I mean, I think on the actual board, there's a point total around the edge of the board.
Oh, and you're moving a little.
You move a point tracker.
So, I mean, that's a little better, but I mean, still, I feel like in this, you could play a game. You could play 20 games of this in the amount of time that it would take to play one game on a real board.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, I feel like it's a little weird because I feel like the reason that we need these video game adaptations of board games is because board games have gotten so influenced by video games and have so many systems in them that they become cumbersome to keep track of. I am really curious. There is, and I think we talked about this before, but I don't remember if it was on the air or not. But my grandmother had a bunch of board games that she had bought when she went through this brief board game phase in probably the early 60s.
Whoa.
And I really want to pull that out and see what those are like. There was some sort of Civil War war game that I remember.
Like an old Avalon Hill?
There being in there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. And I'm really curious to see what was that like?
I mean, it might just be tabletop miniature fighting game.
Yeah, but from the 60s? I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. How old is Axis and Allies?
I want to say 60s, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it did that, because that existed in cardboard chiclet version before the modern ones with all the plastic bits, didn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know anything about it. Yeah, I want to see what else is in there. I had that dream where there was a Metroid board game in there, which I don't think is going to happen. Oh, you know what? It was this conversation that led us to have that conversation about how it's been longer since Metroid came out than it was between...
84.
84 was Axis and Allies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like this Civil War board game is like a tactical war game that predates every tactical war game that we know anything about.
81 was the original publishing date, but it was the version that everybody knows about is from 84.
I gotta talk to my mom and see where that box is.
Yeah, definitely find
and
find
hope that I didn't destroy it when I was a kid and was all about destroying things. Man, I wish somebody had just tied me up
beaten
in the basement
you around
when I was a kid.
The head.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. I had a bunch of good electronic gizmos that would still be pretty sweet if I still had them. A couple of those Game & Watches and.
I'm sure you could get them on eBay.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I bought that Merlin, played with it for about 10 minutes and put it away.
Yeah. Setup time, 5 to 15 minutes. Playing time, 2 to 10 plus hours.
Axis and Allies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never successfully completed a game of Axis and Allies until I found a computer version of it. So, I mean, that's... Early 80s was, big... That was, when Chris Crawford was making a lot of large scope, long term war game kind of things.
There was a Game Master series. So there was Axis and Allies, and there was Conquest of the Empire, Broadsides and Boarding Parties, Fortress America, and Shogun. They were all
James Clavell's Shogun.
Milton Bradley.
It was two games and sequence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of them ends really abruptly.
Larry Harris and Mike Gray were the designers.
Who published them?
Milton Bradley.
Yeah. All right. What section was this? Assignment.
Yeah.
Board games.
So, I mean, I feel like there's definitely a market for board game adaptations as video games.
I mean, I would play the shit out of an Agricola if I could play the solo variant of Agricola on the iPad. That, I would play the shit out of it all.
That, what was that? Tiny Farmer? Intense Farmer? Angry Farmer?
Totally right.
Serious
the
Farmer.
Civilization, the computer game, was based on a board game.
Sort of.
The other way around.
It wasn't really. Like, it was a board game that was published in Germany or something by, or in Britain by somebody else.
1980,
yeah. And he said that he didn't... He had said in interviews that he didn't have a copy of it and it wasn't based on that.
Oh, really?
But then later it turned out that it kind of was. And it seemed like weird. But and then it's like I was trying to reconcile, like, that seems sketchy, but like Sid Meier seems just like such a good dude. But then I was like, nah, even somebody's jovial dad could rip a dude off.
You know, I probably could come up with a game now that was something
a total
that
rip off of something.
Yeah. Something that I had played as a kid and just had forgotten about, and I wouldn't know it necessarily.
Yeah, you would still be a jerk.
I guess. Yeah. Should we talk about what our
next assignment
is?
Go for it.
It is Limbo.
An indie game about spiders.
How low can you
go? Under sticks.
Yep. It's very artsy.
Did I tell you guys that when I was mowing the lawn in front of the office the other day, I mowed a part that was very near to a little maybe foot-tall brick wall on the side of the yard, and after I did so, probably 100 spiders just scattered in all directions up the wall from the nest of spiders that I had just mowed over.
Great.
Yeah. So not only is the yard full of spiders, the yard is full of spiders that are immune to lawnmowers. So we are fucked because that was the only weapon
that was
we
our
had.
Primary weapon in the war against spiders.
Limbo, you're a little man and you're alone in a harsh world that's black and white. Does it turn less
little
black
boy.
And white later?
Nope. It's all black and white through the whole thing.
It's all silhouettes.
Yep.
We just save money on...
There are a couple secrets that are hidden around that are hard to get to.
They're in color.
There are a lot. It's like a puzzle game. It's the atmosphere is fantastic.
It's sort of a physics puzzle.
Physics
jumping
puzzle
game.
Jumping game. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Is it floaty great. Physics puzzling like Trine, or is it? Is
no,
it
it's more.
It's like constrained, fudged physics puzzle. Like
it is
the Incredible Machine.
There is a little bit of
and super fudge.
There's a little bit of physics engine-y type stuff, but it is primarily constrained.
Yeah.
There's very little that you have to do that's that. Like, I can think of a couple places where...
It's not like Angry Birds where sometimes you'll start a level and some shit will fall over.
There are some really hard puzzles in it. At least I found them to be pretty tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I got through it when I played it. I got through it without any hints, but I think there were two places where I had to stop and
walk away from it
and walk away and came back the next day and was able to figure it out the next day.
I played it for like an hour and then put it down and then came back like 6 months later and played through it and was like, got to the same point I had gotten stuck the first time and was like, there's a couple other things I guess I could try. And one of them ended up working, but I was I had been fumbling around at that for quite a while.
Speaking of which, I never did finish trying to.
I didn't either.
Go back to it. I got stuck because of a glitch. I like fell behind some switch that you weren't supposed to get behind, and there was no way for me to get out of it. And so, I didn't want to play that whole level over again. So I just gave up.
It's on my desktop, like as a thing that I need to go back to.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the next assignment. Somewhere in that, I will have edited in some highlights. From us having played that game.
me calling Kevin a cocksucker.
Yeah. Also, some jokes from the original Highlights magazine.
That's Highlights magazine is where I learned the joke that was, I think, the most influential thing as a child on my sense of humor. And it turns out it was ripped off from an episode of Gilligan's Island. But it was about a man goes to the doctor and says, "Doc, I bit myself in the ear." And the doctor said, "How did you manage to bite your own ear?" And the guy says, "I stood on a chair."
Pretty great.
The other night, I dreamed a Skyrim joke.
Tell it, brother.
It was, okay, so one Viking says to the other Viking, "Did you know that Exandir is in love with the new tavern wench?" And the other guy says, "Yeah, oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah, he's carrying like 80 torches for her."
And I...
That's pretty great.
Do you carry a lot of torches in Skyrim?
You carry a lot of everything in Skyrim.
Brooms.
That's the carrying around all your inventory game.
Are there torches?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't remember.
Because I thought that would have made sense as a Legend of Grimrock joke.
It would make more sense as a Legend of Grimrock joke.
But two guards talking to each other.
Okay.
It's got to be from Skyrim.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I didn't mean to pee on your joke. I just
you put out the torches.
I thought maybe there was something that I didn't.
You brought up the same points that occurred to me at when I woke up.
Okay. That's why it was a dream joke.
You had the courage to come out here and tell that joke to all the nice people.
I think it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Regardless of its factual inaccuracies.
Well, sweet assignment, bros. Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us listener's mail so that we can ignore it for months at a time, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could send it very timely to Twitter. Just anyone at random, would probably work just as well. If you want to direct it more to us, you can do it at VG Hot Dog. You can email us, vghotdog@gmail.com. And you could check out our forums available via our website, videogameshotdog.com.
It's a pretty good website.
It's all right.
It's got a guy on it.
Yep.
Tells you where to get to the assignment.
We've got all kinds of websites now that are out in the world. We've got asymmetric.net. We got wordrealms.com, kingdomofloathing.com.
Minimum Safe Distance.org. Adventurematic.com.
What's Adventurematic?
Yeah, exactly. It's the fucking thing you were supposed to be working on for the last 5 years because everybody got real excited about it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Adventurematic.com. It's probably just a white screen that says lul on it or something.
It's definitely not a puzzle hunt.
Good night, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Is that unusual that a centerfold is younger than you?
Well, no, it's just a sign. It's the
you remember
when it happens.
They're sometimes like 18, aren't they?
Well, they're almost always 18 because that's when women are attractive.